You're listening to Radio Tacoma. On October 27th, Evelyn Lopez sat down with Tacoma mayoral candidate Victoria Woodards on behalf of Radio Tacoma.
Well, welcome. I'm Evelyn Lopez, and I'm here today with Victoria Woodards, who is a candidate for mayor of Tacoma. We are 11 days out from the election, so this is a good opportunity to get together with the candidates and talk about their last thoughts on the campaign and get to know them a little bit more. Victoria, I have some light questions for you, but do you want to start with giving a little bit about your background?
Sure. And Evelyn, thank you so much for hosting this show this afternoon. We're in a beautiful space in downtown Tacoma, so this is really, really actually cool space to be in, and glad to be here and glad to be able to be interviewed by you. So thank you. Yeah, I'm Victoria Woodards, and I am hoping to be Tacoma's next mayor. A little bit about me. I've been in Tacoma since I was 3 years old. My father was from Mississippi and my mother from England, and they met and fell in love. And my father got stationed here at McCord Air Force Base at the time. And I have been here for the most part ever since. I graduated from Lincoln High School, and I always say, go Abe. So if there are any Abe's listeners out there, yay for Lincoln High School. And then after high school, I took a different path and I joined the U.S. Army, and I spent time in the military, and I joined the military to serve my country and to see the world. And I got stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington. So I'm just destined to be at home. And then I'll just add, in addition to being a veteran, I've got 30 years of public, private, and nonprofit sector experience, having most recently served as president and CEO of the Great Tacoma Urban League. And then currently I am the director of community development for the Tacoma Rainiers.
So actually, that makes me want to ask you, are you a baseball fan?
Absolutely not. I am now. I am now. I wasn't before I started working for the Rainiers. I'm not a real sports person.
That's kind of what I thought.
So I was like, but working for baseball has been so much fun. What a great opportunity in our city to have such a beautiful ballpark. But more than that, what I've learned is that it really, people don't necessarily come to the game because they love baseball. Mm-hmm. They come to the game because they love the family experience and the opportunity to drink beer and hang out in a beautiful setting, or to eat a hot dog and cotton candy. Right. So it's more about the experience than it actually is about the game. I think the game is just the entertainment. I mean, mm-hmm. some people actually really love baseball, but a lot of people come just to be with their families, and it's a really great place to get together with your family, to hang out, and it's reasonably priced to be able to do so.
Yeah, it's great to have it in the city.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, I listened to the recent Citizen Tacoma podcast, the Silly Ones.
Oh, that was fun.
So I know you and Jim Merritt have a couple of things in common. First, you're both the oldest child in your family. You each have one younger sibling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'm also an oldest child.
Well, look at that.
I know. So
all three of us had the same thing.
I think there's something there. And the two of you prefer dogs over cats.
Oh, wow.
Now, I love all animals, okay, but I do have five cats.
Oh, you're a cat lover. I loved cats when I was a young girl. Mm-hmm. I had, what was it, like an English something, because my mother's English. Right. I think that's why we got that cat. But I loved her. I thought I was going to live with 21 cats mm-hmm. when I got older. Now I have a dog, so mm-hmm. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Well, so let me ask you some kind of light questions.
Sure.
Since you grew up with an English mom, are you a tea lover?
I do love tea.
Now, do you drink it with milk?
No. My mother does, though. I don't drink it with milk. My mother absolutely does.
Okay. I was born in New Zealand and grew up with a New Zealander father.
Yeah.
So, yes, grew up drinking tea. Must have it with milk.
You have to have milk.
Must have it with milk.
See, yeah. Maybe one day.
So, for your mom, is she more Coronation Street or is she more EastEnders?
Oh, she's definitely an EastEnder, I think.
Was she from London?
She's not from London. She is from a city not too far from London called Colchester.
Okay.
And so that's outside of London. I, unfortunately, my brother was born there. And mm-hmm. so obviously I was there when I was two, but I've not been to England as an adult. And mm-hmm. both my grandparents are now passed, and my mother was an only child. Mm-hmm. So I don't have any aunties or, you know, that in England. But I'm hoping one day to be able to go back to England with my mom so she can show me where she's from. Yeah.
That would be lovely. Yeah. Okay, so more questions. You're in a bar.
Yeah.
Do you order beer, wine, a cocktail or something else?
Depends on the day.
Ooh.
Depends on the day I've had.
Okay.
So I'm not really, no, if it's really warm outside, mm-hmm. if it's like a hot summer day, then I do want the cider beer.
Oh, yeah.
I'll drink a cider beer. Mm-hmm. If it's been an okay day and I just want to, you know, chill out and I'm getting something really good to eat, mm-hmm. there's nothing better than a red blend.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, there's not. So then that's a great glass of wine. Mm-hmm. And if it's been a hectic day and I just want to scream from the top of my lungs, bring me a martini.
Okay, I can get down with all of those choices. Okay. Marijuana has been legalized for recreation use. Have you been to a pot store?
I've not been to a pot store since it's been legalized for recreational use. I did, when I was on the council, visit a medical marijuana store, mm-hmm. Just to see, because I didn't quite understand. And it was, I was amazed. Yeah. I mean, I just think of marijuana as I understood it in high school, right?
Right.
I didn't know that there were hair care products and food. And I'm like, you can wash your hair with marijuana? I mean, they had everything.
Right.
And I understand now it's
even more.
It's even more. But I have not been in yet, although I've had lots of offers. Mm-hmm. When the campaign's over, I want to go visit.
Do it, actually, because it's turning into a significant part of our economy.
Yeah.
And yeah, the products that they're producing and the activity in Tacoma, which, you know, might be something that we could increase.
Yeah.
It's worth knowing about.
I would. Definitely. I'm curious. Yeah. I really am curious to see what they have to offer.
And some of the brownies are really good.
Ah, well.
I have to say.
We'll see. November 8th.
Just exactly. All right. What is your must-have music?
Gospel. Without really? A doubt. I love, well, you know, I'm a gospel choir director. I've been directing choirs for, geez, over 30 years. Mm-hmm. But gospel music is my go-to. It's that thing that gets me going every day. Although right now, what is his name? Lucky for You, That's What I Like. Anybody know what his name is? Bruno Mars. My favorite song right now is Bruno Mars' Lucky for You, What I Like. That. And normally I'm not an R&B girl, but that song,
that's it, huh?
It gets me going. But normally gospel music is it for me.
What is, and I'm going to say, except for choir music,
okay.
What is the last live concert you went to?
Oh my God. I think the last live concert I went to, I love jazz, mm-hmm. especially smooth jazz. And Norman Brown is probably my ultimate favorite performer. So I would probably think the last concert I've been to is a Norman Brown concert somewhere in Seattle.
Okay. What was the best live music experience you've ever had?
Whitney Houston, my first concert ever.
When was that?
Oh my goodness. When she came to the Tacoma Dome, and I want to say probably in the late 90s, I had an opportunity. I was working at the Urban League at the time, and we were working with bringing a national act to Tacoma. And the promoter I was working with at the time, I said, I'd never been to a concert. He goes, do you want to go see Whitney Houston? I was like, yeah. So, I mean, I think I was like in the third row when Whitney Houston came to the Tacoma Dome. And yeah, that was probably it was the best because it was the first, but then it spoiled me.
Yeah.
Because if I can't sit in the third row or close now, I don't want to go to a concert. But it was great to see Whitney mm-hmm. and to be able to say I saw her before.
Mm-hmm. What is something about you, and I know about being able to assemble a rifle.
Yes.
So what is something about you that people generally don't know and they might be surprised about?
You know what surprises most people, and I don't know why? It surprises most people that I can actually cook.
Oh.
Most people think I'm just an eat out.
Because you're so busy.
Yeah. They're like, you can't, you eat out all the time. I go, well, I do, but I actually can cook and I love to cook. And I don't know if it's because people also don't think I wear tennis shoes, right? So right. I get begged into this high heels, don't cook, eat out kind of girl. Mm-hmm. And I love to cook. It's one of my favorite things. I can fry chicken.
Really?
And make homemade macaroni and cheese and collard greens, and I can do pasta and salmon. I absolutely love to cook, which surprises people.
So if I ever get my dream cooking show,
yes,
then Cooking with Victoria is definitely a possibility.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Although I measure absolutely nothing, so
that's okay.
I don't know how much I can teach anybody else, but I know what tastes good to me.
That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. All right. Well, okay. So now I want to turn to some campaign related questions.
Okay. That's
all right.
Good. I like the fun stuff.
The fun stuff is so fun.
Absolutely.
But this week in households around Tacoma, I don't know which ones, but we've had some mailers come out that were not sponsored by a campaign. Mm-hmm. A mailer, what I would call a hit piece on you, and also today a hit piece on Jim Merritt. Mm-hmm. And these are independent expenditure mailers, which means they're funded by outside groups and separate from the campaign. Have you seen either of these mailers? I know I tried to show them to you earlier.
I do not. I have not seen them, and I don't want to see them. I think they're a distraction. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that my campaign has not and will not do hit pieces or negative mail. I think they're a distraction from what the real issues are. Mm-hmm. And I know for me and my campaign, we're going to keep moving forward, talking about the issues that are important to people in Tacoma, right? I mean, I think that's what running for office is all about. It's all about telling people what it is you want to do for the city and how you want to work on behalf of the city. So I'd rather spend my time, it's like I don't even want to spend a minute looking at them, because I want to spend my time figuring out how we're going to get more jobs in Tacoma and how we're going to increase public safety and how we're going to get a better transportation system and how we're going to address, you know, homelessness issues and mental health issues and affordability and all those things I've been hearing at the door. That's where I want to focus all my time and all my energy. And if I have an extra minute in my day, I'm knocking on somebody else's door and trying to talk to a voter, not read a piece of negative mail.
Right. So let me ask you this. I think one of the things that has caused a lot of people concern is the sense that there's some racial undertones in some of the negative campaigning. To me, well, I could go back and say all of 2017 feels this way, but to me, a lot of the things that I thought we were doing better at racially, I'm now reconsidering and wondering if maybe we're not doing that well after all. Have you had similar thoughts this year, and particularly with this, you know, last weeks of the campaign activity?
You know, I like to, because I'm from Tacoma, right? So it's my hometown, it's my city, and I'd like to believe that Tacoma is better than any place in the country. And that we do it better here. You've heard me talk a lot of times about Project Peace in our city and how exciting it was to talk about doing it differently in Tacoma than it happens across the country. And not that we're perfect here, but that we're better here. But I think I would not be being honest if I didn't say that there are still very much racial undertones in what happens here, even in this beloved city that I call home. I think this campaign in some ways has made me wake up a little bit to realize that Tacoma is not as, we don't wear rose colored glasses like I tend to think that we all do, and that racism is alive and well, but I still believe in the best about Tacoma, and I still believe in the best of the people who live in Tacoma. But I've been to some forums and listened to some conversations that made me go, wow. I've been at doors with people who've openly cried with me about issues. And I remember doorbelling just probably 3 weeks ago up on the north end, up by Wilson High School. And I doorbelled a lady and we just started talking, and she was just talking about, just how bad the national narrative is. And then she said to me, she goes, and I didn't realize how much it started to bother me until you knocked on my door. And she had tears running down her face. And we just had a real open conversation about race in America. Yeah. And I just didn't realize, because I've been fortunate, even though I've not had the easiest life, I think I've been fortunate. But there are people who really are hurting and struggling with a lot of the things that are going on. And they're Black and white and Asian and from the LGBTQ community. I mean, there are all kinds of people who are feeling this pain and not feeling and feeling disenfranchised.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right that the sort of the national dynamic plays into it too. But have you got any thoughts of how we can maybe work harder or try harder or what we can do? Because I worry now that, you know, my assumptions were that things were pretty good.
Yeah.
And now I think you were a fool.
Yeah.
And you just didn't know and you didn't have exposure to it. So now that I'm a little bit more exposed, I'm kind of at a loss as to what the next steps are.
Kind of uncomfortable, right? Because it's
really?
Like you want to do something. And I think I read something, I read a Facebook post some time ago that really was talking about So what can white people do, right?
Yeah.
In response to all of this. And someone responded and said, well, don't ask me what you can do. I don't have, you know, a person of color responded and said, don't ask me what you can do. But I think, and I was also asked a question in a forum, how can we, you know, bring all this love back into the city? And what can I as mayor do? And it's like, it's not what I as mayor can do. It's what we as people who live in the city can do. And I think there are a couple of things that come to mind for me. And one is when you're in a place and you feel uncomfortable, stop and acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And figure out why you feel uncomfortable and then work to address that uncomfortableness. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing you do, because I think you've got to acknowledge when you feel uncomfortable, because too often when we start to feel uncomfortable, we gloss over it, we try to make ourselves feel better, and we don't sit in that uncomfortableness. And then if we don't, we can't consciously change how we think and figure out why we feel that way. So I think that's one thing we have to do. And then the other thing is that we have to then put ourselves in places where we're uncomfortable.
Right.
Because so often, yeah, I can walk into a room and be the only person of color in a room. And I don't think, oh my goodness, I'm the only person of color in here. I'm used to that, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes when it's the other way around, when you're the only majority person in a room full of people of color, you have to stop and figure out. So I say, put yourself in a place that's uncomfortable. Talk to people who aren't like you. Engage with people who aren't like you. Be around people who aren't like you. Be in situations that make you uncomfortable so you can figure out why. Because again, it's only when you acknowledge that you are, mm-hmm. that you can begin to figure out how to work on it.
Right.
And then there's three. Then the other thing is that when you are in a situation and someone has said something that you know isn't right, mm-hmm. don't be quiet. Mm-hmm. Because I think when we think about allies and people who work on behalf of other people, no matter what community you're in, if you're going to be a real ally, then you got to speak up.
Right.
Because sometimes an ally has a voice that the people who actually are being oppressed don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And in those moments, I think it's really important as an ally to say, you know what, that isn't okay. And you shouldn't have said that. And to demand things, because sometimes as a person of color, as the person who's being oppressed, when you demand it, you're supposed to, right?
Right.
Because you're the one who's been hurt. But if someone who isn't supposed to demands the same thing, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, those are good ideas. Is there anything that's really surprised you being on the campaign trail, or anything that you've learned that you didn't know before? And I'll say,
sure.
Because you're an experienced campaigner, so.
Yeah, but it still is amazing. I still am, every time I knock on a door and meet a new person, in most cases, I fall in love with the city all over again. Mm-hmm. I am amazed at, you know, too often when you're in politics or when you run for office, all you hear are the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many people just love Tacoma and think this is the greatest place to live. I mean, I've heard amazing stories talking to voters in the city who don't, like when I come and I say, so can you tell me, you know, what you think about Tacoma, what you think we should change, what we could do better? And you'd be amazed how many times people go, I love this place. I don't know if there's anything we could do better. And so I think the thing that just surprises me is, as much as I hear of negativity, how much positive stuff is really out there and how much people just love Tacoma.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good. So a question about the possible future.
Yep.
I'm going to say, you are the mayor. What is, you know, if you do nothing else, what is the one thing you would really like to achieve?
So that's kind of like the, you know, what's your number one priority? And mm-hmm. for me, I really think that if we can get better jobs in Tacoma and more jobs in Tacoma, then I think that addresses every single thing that I want to talk about. I think it addresses homelessness. I think it addresses affordability, right? I think it addresses all those things. But I think really figuring out the nuts and bolts of how we get more companies to locate in Tacoma and how we grow our tax base to do all of those things and how we have jobs for people who work here that provide them with enough money to support themselves and that bring them dignity and make them feel like they are really contributing mm-hmm. to this community.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's still my number one priority.
Okay. So imagine first week in office.
Yep.
You're in the mayor's office.
Okay.
Behind the desk. Who do you call And what meetings do you want to set up to start working on the jobs issue?
So there are a couple things I think of. One, and something I've been saying on the campaign trail, is that I want to put together a business advisory council that works directly with the mayor. It's not staffed by anybody at City Hall. It's, you know, it's not managed by the Economic Development Department. It's just a group that talks with the mayor that consists of big business and middle-sized business and small business and entrepreneur, you know, people who want to start a business. And I want it to be people who have not always been around the table, you know, and so that's the first thing I want to do, is I want to figure out who that list is and talk to people, and I want to get that group together. And then the other thing I want to do is I want every department in the city who has a hand on, whether it be permits or whether it be on job retention or whether it be, you know, in planning, wherever that is, I want everybody who has a hand in it, I want us all to sit down at the table, or whether it be permits, right? I mean, how do we all sit down on the table and go, how do we make sure that at this city we see every potential business in Tacoma as our customer, as the reason why we get up every single day? And how do we make our city hall a place that says, okay, what can we do to make you successful? Because if we're focused on making sure that businesses are successful, then our whole city is successful. So I think those are probably two things I would do right away. And then figure out, what are those things? Where are our efficiencies? How can we do better? How can we change the culture and our mindset to say, when you walk in the door, I'm here to figure out everything you need and have to have in order to open quickly and on time and under budget and all of those things. Or even for people who just have an idea about starting a business, how do we get you motivated and get you everything you need to do and to know in order to be able to make that happen, so you can avoid pitfalls and delays and all of those things that cost you more money? And who do we partner with, like the chamber, like MDC, who does stuff with small businesses? How do we partner with everybody in this community who's doing this work and make sure that there are no gaps, that we know where all the resources are, so that when people are ready to go, we're ready to help them go?
Would you schedule meetings with some of the business leaders in town?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we talk about, you know, you hear a lot of businesses say we're not happy here, and then I talk to tons of businesses who go, we love Tacoma. But I think, yeah, you got to have real conversations with both, both people who are active in the community and people who just come and open their doors and close their doors and go home at night.
Right. Right. Well, and it occurs to me that, you know, there are some businesses that are very active in the chamber and other groups, and then there are some very successful businesses that aren't. They're busy running their businesses, but they probably have insights that would be valuable.
Absolutely. And that's where I think, when I talk about this business advisory council, I want to make sure that we're including all of those. I want to make sure that all of those voices are heard and at the table, and participating in the conversations, so that we can clearly understand the entire picture.
Yeah, good. How do you plan to ensure that you are accessible and reachable when people have issues that they want to bring to your attention?
I'm going to be just like I've always been. I mean, I think, I don't know, I've never heard somebody say I couldn't reach you. My cell phone number is there. I am active in community. I'm all over the place. I will continue to be the person that you can run into in the grocery store or in the coffee shop. My number will always be published. I will always take meetings with anybody who has something they want to talk to me about. So I'm going to just remain who I've always been, and being mayor is not going to change who I am.
Are you able to hire someone who's sort of your personal assistant, not just an administrative person, but someone who can help with all of the contacts and help with all of those things?
So at the city, you know, because we have a city management form of government, you only have one employee, and that's the city manager. And now, when I left, and I don't know how it is now, but when I left as a council member, we had an admin person who took care of scheduling all of our appointments, and then we had a policy person who helped us with policy. So I'm assuming that that may still be the case when I get back to City Hall. But yeah, you can't do it by yourself. Yeah. I've been trying to think of, how can I create some internships for people who want to work with me to help me with some of that stuff, when and if I am successful in 11 days. But I think giving young people an opportunity to work in government. It's been so much fun on the campaign to see all of these young people engage in the campaign. Like, I have a 14-year-old who looked my campaign up online and came all the way from DuPont and doorbells with us every weekend just because she wanted to get engaged in campaigns. And I think there are more youth like that that we can find opportunities for at City Hall.
Then I think my last question is, what have I not asked you that you wish I had asked you? Or, if you're truly brave, what have I not asked you that you were dreading that I might ask you?
Oh, I'm not that brave. No, I think you got to be brave to run for office. So, yeah,
definitely.
I think we're both pretty brave sitting at this table. You know, I think the one thing I'd like to say, I don't know if there's another question, having been at, I can't imagine, it has to have been somewhere between 20 and 25 forums, if I'm counting correctly. I've been asked, I think, every question I could think of. But I think I will say this to the citizens of Tacoma, and that is, you know, we've got 11 days, and we are hearing that we're going to have low voter turnout again.
Really?
And I think if I could say one thing, I would say vote. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, hopefully you'll vote for me. But I think that whether you vote for me or not, vote. It's your obligation to vote. Mm-hmm. If you're a woman, if you're a person of color, there are people who died and struggled for your right to vote. And I think that the least that we can do to recognize those struggles is to turn our ballots in. Mm-hmm. So whether you go to a drop box or you stick a stamp on it or you put it in the mail, make sure you get your ballot checked off and you vote.
Great, great advice. Well, and I should add, there is a ton of information available. There are newspaper articles, the Citizen Tacoma podcasts.
Yep.
Nate Bowling has done podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of information available to people. So if people are having trouble making up their minds, do the research.
Absolutely.
It's not hard to find information.
No, and if you've got questions, feel free to call me.
Okay, you heard it. You want to give out your number?
253-677-9007.
Great. Well, I don't think I had any other questions, and I would echo something Victoria said at the beginning. We are sitting downtown at 734 Pacific. It is a beautiful building.
Yeah.
This is going to be a hub of performing arts and culture in Tacoma. I just feel it. So thank you for letting us use your building.
Thank you.
You are still listening to Radio Tacoma. This was an interview between Evelyn Lopez and mayoral candidate Victoria Woodards. Took place at 734 Pacific Ave in Tacoma. Brought to you by 733 Arts and Diversified Sound.